السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
عامر، how are you؟
عفان الحمد لله شيخ.
Can we go with the class؟
نعم يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In continuation of our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, Muhammad ibn Ismail Abu Abdullah. Our last chapter we read from was Babu ma yajibu an aw babu ma yajibu min awn al malhuf. Babu ma yajibu min awn al malhuf. A chapter about the obligation of helping a person who is distressed. If a person is distressed, the Muslim is in distress. It is compulsory for the rest of us to help him out. Babu ma yajibu min awni al malhuf. The chapter regarding helping a person who is in distress. We'd mentioned that previously, we had mentioned the chapter about helping somebody, just providing help. But providing help, yes, it's necessary. But providing help to the person who is distressed is far much more obligatory on the Muslims. So you can see how our deen combines a number of things. Yes, it is lawful for us, it is encouraged for the Muslim to help someone else. So that's why it says ma'unatu rajuli akhahu. This is babu ma'unatu rajuli akhahu. It's about the person helping his brother. Yes, you help your brother, whether he is in distress or not. But helping the one in distress now is a different issue. You can help somebody who is not in distress. You can provide assistance to someone who is not in distress. But it becomes compulsory to provide far much more obligatory, as long as you are able to. To provide help to the one who is in distress. This is the way our scholars in our deen have helped us in the matters of our deen. Sometimes, for example, if they say the chapter about ashuhu, we discussed ashuhu. Shuhu is that you hold back people's rights and benefits. They say benefit, people should benefit from you. You hold it back. There is a right they should gain from you, you hold it back. And then in addition to holding back their rights and benefits, you are also longing to have what they have. You want to add their own to your own. You will not give, and you want to take. This is what is referred to as what? Ashuhu. They differentiated it from al-bukhul. Al-bukhul is just to hold back rights and benefits. When a person holds back rights and benefits, we say he's what? Bakhil. But when a person holds back rights and benefits, and at the same time he wants to take over rights and benefits from others, you see, that one is a bigger issue. So we say he is shahih. He's a person who has shuhu with him. So that's why you see the two of them have been discussed under different topics. Look at the issue of At-tabassum and at-dahik. At-tabassum, we had Babu at-tabassumi, the chapter about smiling. We also had a different chapter, Babu at-dahik, the chapter about laughing. You cannot laugh until you start with a smile. The beginning of every laughter is a smile. It's the smile that transits, becomes intensified. And then it becomes what we refer to as what? Abdahik, laughter. Yet, we discuss the ruling of tabassum separate, because the ruling is actually separate from the ruling of what? Abdahik. While the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged at tabassum, smiling, and he would regularly smile, alayhi salatu wa sallam. He allowed laughter, but discouraged much laughter. So you can see as connected as these two things were, their difference, their rulings were different. And so they were mentioned in different rulings. This is connected to many things in Islam, even the issues of saying taslim. If you just place it all under the chapter of Islam encourages saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ta'if. You start asking questions. What is the ruling of saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh? That's another question. What is the ruling of answering wa alaikum assalam to a person who says assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi to you? How do you answer? Is it lawful to say wa alaikum salam? If the person says assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, is it lawful to say and stop at wa alaikum salam? This is a topic. Who starts the taslim first? Two Muslims meet themselves. Who starts first? The elderly one or the younger one? Or one person meets a group. Who starts first? Is it the group that first starts to give the taslim, or a single individual must say the taslim first to the group? Okay. A person walking on his feet and a person riding on an animal or a car or a bicycle or a motorbike, who has the duty to start the taslim first, right? How about if I give a taslim to somebody and he does not reply, what is the ruling? So you see each of these rulings they have, yes, they are connected to one another, but they are different. So they usually come under different chapter headings. So this is the same reason why the chapter we'll be treating today, even though it is related to the chapter about nice character, it is different from just merely discussing the importance of nice character. And that is the chapter about Man da'a Allaha an yuhassina khuluqahu. Babu man da'a Allaha an yuhassina khuluqahu. The chapter about the one who begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and supplicates unto him, and yuhassina khuluqahu. He begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him better, to help him perfect his character. Yes, that can come under the issues of a nice character, because from the issues of nice character is that you look for how to gain a nice character. And for the fact that we beg Allah for nice character, it shows the importance of nice character. So if you go back to Hadith 270, you see Babu Husnil Khuluk, the chapter about good character. But here it is talking about Dua Allah and Yuhassina Khuluqahu, a person's begging and supplicating to Allah to better his character. So it comes under Babu Manda Allah and Yuhassina. The chapter about begging Allah and supplicating unto him to perfect his character, even though it is connected to the chapter about generally encouraging good character. There's a question, is it something that I can be making dua for? And that is something we hardly make dua for. We make dua for money, we make dua for health, we make dua for wealth, we make dua for our children, we make dua for many things. For many of us, we fail or forget or become, you know, nonchalant about begging Allah regarding our iman. Oh Allah, strengthen my iman. Make me love iman. The Messenger used to say so, alayhi salatu wassalam. The companions used to say so, radiallahu anhum. Allahumma habib ilayna al-iman. Oh Allah, make us love iman. Wazayyinhu fi qulubina. O Allah, perfect and ornament iman. Make it stay inside my mind. وَكَرِّهِ إِلَيَّ الْكُفْرَ. O Allah, make me hate disbelief. وَالْفُسُوقِ. O Allah, make me hate iniquities. وَالْفُسُوقِ وَالْعِسْيَانِ. O Allah, make me hate falling into sins. Allahumma ja'alna min. And so on. Allahumma atinu fi sana taqwa. O Allah, bless my soul with taqwa. These are dua we hardly make, just like we also hardly make dua about perfect character. And when we discussed perfect character, we had mentioned two dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to make regarding his character. One is the very, very brief one that he would say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma kama hassanta khalki, ahassin khuluki. Allahumma kama hassanta khalki. Oh Allah, as you have perfected my look, you gave me two eyes, you gave me a mouth, two ears, my head, my hairs on my head, you make me a handsome person. Because laqad khalaqna al-insan fi ahsani taqwim, we had made mankind in the best of formats. So this our format, this our look that we have as human beings. It is from the best of how human beings can look. There is no best way we could have looked. So as we beg Allah, Allahumma kama hassanta khalki, just as you have perfected my look, as you have perfected my features on my body, fahassin khuluki, so perfect my character. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, it is authentic from him that he would make this dua. Likewise, when he observes salah, he will make it from his dua ul istiftah. The dua he made when he started salah was to say, Allahumma hdini li ahsani al-akhlaq, wa la yahdi li ahsaniha illa ant. Allahumma hdini li ahsani al-akhlaq, la yahdi li ahsaniha illa ant. Oh Allah, guide me to the best of character. Wa la yahdi li ahsaniha illa ant. And no one will guide to the best of character except you. Wasrif anni sayyi'aha. Oh Allah, keep away from me bad character. La yasrifu sayyi'aha illa ant. No one keeps away bad character, and no one can keep it away from me except you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are supplications the Prophet makes, alayhi salatu wa salam, to beg Allah to grant him good character and put away from him bad character. So these are from the means of gaining good character. One of the major means of gaining good character is to beg Allah for nice character, just like one of the major means of gaining wealth is to beg Allah to provide you wealth. So this one has come under Babu Man Da'a Allaha an yuhassina khuluqahu, the chapter about the one who will beg Allah to perfect his character, meaning that from the things we need to do is to beg Allah for nice character. May Allah perfect our character. Apart from the efforts to perfect character, this is what we are talking about. Just like apart from the efforts to make love good. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shaykh.
That pitch from me here, my internet got down. So I just turned it on again. The last thing we spoke about is Babu Man Da'a Allah an yuhassina khuluqahu, the chapter about begging Allah to perfect our character. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has placed that under Hadith 307. He said, Haddathana Muhammad ibn Salam, qala akhbarana Marwan ibn Muawiyah al-Fazzari, an Abd al-Rahman ibn Ziyad ibn An'um, an Abd al-Rahman ibn Rafi al-Tannukhi, an Abdullah ibn Amr, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كان يكثر أن يدعو اللهم إني أسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر اللهم إني أسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر. الإمام البخاري under Hadith 307, he said, Haddathana Muhammad ibn Salam, and that is his teacher, rahimahullah, Abu Abdullah al-Bikandi, the teacher of al-Imam al-Bukhari, who was from al-Balkh, said, Haddathana Muhammad ibn Salam, قال أخبرنا مروان بن معاوية الفزاري. مروان بن معاوية الفزاري رحمه الله. He was reporting from عبد الرحمن ابن زياد بن أنعم الإفريقي. عبد الرحمن ابن زياد ابن أنعم was from among the scholars of Egypt, and he widely reported a lot of ahadith. Many of the scholars, rahimahumullah, rule him to be a weak reporter of hadith, but there are some of the scholars who answered, gave responses to the criticisms that were given regarding him. And they prove, rahimahumullah, that Abdurrahman ibn Ziyad ibn Anum is a sound reporter of hadith. From amongst them was Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. From amongst them was Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Salih al-Misri. From amongst them was Al-Imam Suhnun. All these people were from those who were from the scholars of hadith, like Ahmad ibn Salih al-Misri, like Al-Imam Suhnun. They were people who were with Abdurrahman ibn Ziyad ibn Al-Um al-Ifriqi. They were with him and they understood how he gave his reports, and they graded him to be a reliable reporter of hadith. So what is most correct and Allah knows best is that Abdurrahman ibn Ziyad ibn Al-Um is a sound reporter of hadith. Let us note this point, because what is most common from especially many of those who get busy with this science in our own times is that they regard Abdurrahman ibn Ziyad ibn Al-Um as a weak reporter of hadith. But from among those who did a very, very great job regarding this was Shaykh ibn Abil Aynain. Ibn Abil Aynain from among the scholars of hadith in Misr present day. And he did that in his Muqaddimah on his Tahqiq on the Sharh al-Imam al-Mughlaqai of Sunan ibn Majah. Al-Imam Mughlaqai has a Sharh of Sunan ibn Majah in the Muqaddimah. Al-Shaykh ibn Abil Aynain, he gave an extensive discussion to the fact that Abdurrahman ibn Ziyad ibn Al-Um, a well-known scholar of hadith from amongst the scholars of Egypt, as against the general view that he's a weak reporter of hadith, this scholar was a well-known, reliable scholar of hadith, and he gave a lot of evidence regarding that. And that was also the position of Al-Imam Al-Mughlaqai, rahimahullah. It's not a strange view, Allah. He is reporting from Abdurrahman ibn Rafi at-Tannuhi. He's reporting from Abdurrahman ibn Rafi at-Tannuhi Abu Jaham al-Misri. Abdurrahman ibn Ziyad is Misri. Abdurrahman ibn Rafi is also Misri. Abdurrahman ibn Rafi is Abu Jaham al-Misri. He is the one that is the weak reporter of hadith here. And it is for the reason that he occurs in the isnad of this hadith, that this hadith was graded weak. He is reporting from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, أن رسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كان يكثر أن يدعو اللهم إني أسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر. اللهم إني أسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر. عبد الرحمن بن رافع أبو جهم التنوخي is reporting from the companion of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص, who was reported to have said رضي الله عنهما that كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام يكثر أن يدعو, he would regularly, he muchly made a dua. And what is that dua? اللهم إني أسألك الصحة والعفة. Oh Allah, إني أسألك الصحة والعفة. I ask you for الصحة, sound health. اللهم إني أسألك الصحة. Oh Allah, I ask you for sound health. العفة is الامتناع أما لا يحل قولا أو فعلا. الامتناع أما لا يحل قولا أو فعلا. Abstinence from something that is not lawful or even good at all. Whether that statement, whether that issue is a statement or an action. If that's a statement that is bad, then don't say it. If you don't say it and you abstain from bad speech, vulgarity, and being bad in your character, that is referred to as al-ifa, al-imtina'u amma la yahillu qawlan aw fi'la, abstinence or keeping away, holding back from something that's not lawful or good. Whether that thing is a thing of speech or it's a thing of character. That is the reason why if there is an expression that became, as we now say in our own times, viral, and that expression is a bad expression, the Muslim does not say, it goes all away. One such expression is violence. You see young people now, they say, I want to do violence. Don't use that kind of an expression. From the aspects of ifa, from the aspects of abstaining from something that's not nice, is you abstain from those kinds of character. Even though people say, you don't say it because you are a Muslim. You don't say and use expressions that are vulgar. That's what Allah warned us about. He says, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ. You cannot compare what is right and what is wrong. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ. Even though that khabith, that bad, obnoxious thing became so popular and widespread, you don't use that kind of an expression. So you see people, brothers, when they speak to themselves and send messages, they start talking about violence. V-A-W-L-E-N-C-E. Don't use these kinds of expressions. Ifa. If you ask me, what is the evidence? Ifa. Al-ifa. Al-imtina'u amma la yahillu. Abstinence from something that is not lawful. Qawlan aw fi'lan. Whether it is from speech or it is from action. Al-ifa is something that is required from a Muslim. Al-ifa will make you abstain from lying. Al-ifa will make you abstain from backbiting. Al-ifa will make you abstain from zina. Al-ifa will make you abstain from everything that Allah has prohibited. Abstinence from something that Allah has prohibited is referred to as what? Al-ifa. Whether that thing is what? Whether that thing is speech or that thing is action. Even if that thing may be prohibited, but it's not a nice thing to do. It is the highest level of what? Al-ifa. Something, it may be lawful. Such as walking on the streets now without a car. Walking on the streets without a car is lawful. But doing it now, because it is more known now with Fusak, if you have a non-Muslim, as we now have it, they too grow beards. They grow beards. They too now have trousers that do not reach the ground. So you have a trouser not on the ground, upon the sunnah. You have a beard upon the sunnah. Guys too do that. In fact, it's one of the ways of guys now. But what we have not seen guys doing is wearing caps. So wear a cap. Not wearing a cap is lawful. But when you wear a cap, it is from the aspects of what? Al-ifa. Why? It keeps you away from looking like people of fisk. It keeps you away from looking like guys. Because you are not. You are not one. You look different. And our deen has encouraged us to be different from the people, even in our looks. Even in looks. So may Allah protect us. Al-ifa is something that is very, very, very important. Al-ifa will not make you contribute in a discussion that is dirty. You also add your mouth to it with a dirty expression. So someone asks you, why did you not join that discussion? Al-ifa. When people are upon a fitna, brothers abusing themselves, insulting themselves, and cursing themselves, we are coming to that in this book, Al-Adabul Mufrad. Al-ifa will not make you contribute. You hold back by way of preserving your deen. May Allah protect all of us. So from the dua of the messenger, as is in this hadith, is that he would say, Allahumma inni as'aluka siha. O Allah, I ask you for sound health. Wal iffah. We have described what iffah is. Wal amana. I also ask you to be upon amana, to be able to keep my trust. Make me a person who is trustworthy. Make me a person of amana. When people entrust their privacies to me, Allah, make me be able to preserve it. When people entrust their possessions to me, make me be able to preserve it. Al-amana. It was said that the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, he would beg Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka sihata wal-iffa wal-amana. The other one that occurs in it is what? Wa husna al-khuluk. This is our point of reference. Wa husna al-khuluk. O Allah, inni as'aluka siha wal-iffa wal-amana wa husna al-khuluk. I also beg you for good character. This is why this narration comes under this chapter. Babu man da Allah an yuhassina khuluqahu. The chapter about begging and supplicating to Allah to perfect your character. Because in this it occurs that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would say, Allahumma inni as'aluka sihhata wal iffa. O Allah, I ask you for sound health and al iffa. I ask you that I become someone who is able to hold back from indecency. Wal amana. Make me someone who is able to keep his trust. Wa husna al khuluq. Make me a person of nice character. Wa rida bil qadar. Make me a person who will be pleased with preordainments. Will be pleased with preordainments. Being pleased with preordainments is that when things happen, we know that this is what Allah has preordained. One of the ways to know preordainment is that they have happened before the occurrence. No one can say that so and so is from your preordainment. You don't know preordainment until they occur. When they occur, we know that nothing can occur except that it has been preordained. So you are pleased with Allah's preordainment for you, and you proceed with your life. It's one of the aspects of as-sabr. You are patient with what Allah has brought to you. You got into a transaction. You had projected to make a profit. The transaction proceeded. You handled it with every diligence that you can bring in as far as you are able as a human being. And then in the end, it occurred that it wasn't that you didn't even make the projected profit. There wasn't profit in it at all. You even struggle to gain back your capital you had invested. Be pleased with it. Be pleased with it. Just like you'll be pleased with it if you made a profit that was beyond the projected profit. Would you not be pleased? So you should also be pleased too with it. So you say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are from Allah and to Him is our return. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati. Oh Allah, preserve me upon this thing that has happened to me, that's displeasing, that's not comfortable for me. It is not comfortable, but provide me the steadfastness in it. And then grant me what is better than what I have lost. And then you proceed and go on. Another example from the aspects of a reader bil qadar is, you want to marry a woman and then it does not work out. You like the sister, and then you proceed, you made a khitbah, you sent gifts, you sent people to her. But from the preordainment of Allah is that she got married to somebody else. She's not inclined towards you. Be pleased with the qadar of Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it occurs in this hadith that he would make the dua regularly and say, Allahumma inni as'aluka as-sihhata wal-'iffata wal-amana. O Allah, I ask you for sound health. I ask you for abstinence from indecency. I ask you for amana. I ask you, O Allah, make me a person of amana. Wa husna al-khuluq. make me a person of good character. And this is our point of reference. That's one of the ways by which we can gain good character is to do what? To be begging Allah for good character. I think that we should teach these kinds of dua to children. Those of us paying attention directly to children, whether our own children or children placed under our care and trust. Let us, for the sake of Allah, teach these children this dua. Allahumma kama hassanta khalki fahassin khuluki. Allahumma kama hassanta khalki fahassin khuluki. And we make them say it regularly until they become used to it. And likewise, we should teach them to say, Allahumma hdini li ahsani al-akhlaq. O Allah, guide me to the best of character. La yahdi li ahsaniha illa ant. No one will guide to the best character except you. Wasrif anni sayi'aha. O Allah, put bad character away from me. La yasrif anha, la yasrif sayi'aha illa ant. No one will put away bad character except you. Allahumma hdini li ahsani al-akhlaq. La yahdi li ahsaniha illa ant. Wasrif anni sayi'aha. La yasrif sayi'aha illa ant. That hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. Even this, in this 307 that we have read here today, we can also say this dua, even if we may not deliberately connected to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is one of the things we can benefit from the aspects of a weak hadith when it is weak and the meaning is correct. We can take that meaning, the correct meaning, if we have other ahadith that show that the meaning of that hadith is correct. And there are many ahadith and verses of the Quran that show that what we have in this hadith, Allahumma inni as'aluka sihhata wal'ifata wal'amana wa husna al-khulq wa rida bil qadar. It is correct to ask Allah for that. So you can ask Allah for that. We can also actually teach children to memorize this and say it as dua, even if they do not ascribe it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I hope that is clear. Teach them to say it as a dua. Teach them to say it as a dua, because it is a very, very sound dua. It is concise and it has a lot of things inside it. Allahumma inni as'aluka sihhata wal'ifata wal'amana wa husna al-khulq wal-rida bil-qadar. We should teach children to say. So we have three du'as there that we have mentioned today. The next hadith under our chapter is hadith 308. And in it also, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Abdus Salam, qala haddathana Ja'far, an Abi Imran, an Yazid ibn Banus. It is Ba-Banus, Yazid ibn Ba-Banus, Yazid ibn Ba-Banus, that's his name, Yazid ibn Ba-Banus. So in it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari says, rahimahullah, haddathana Abdus Salam, qala haddathana Ja'far, an Abi Imran, an Yazid ibn Ba-Banus, al-Basri. He is Yazid ibn Ba-Banus Al-Basri. قال, he said, دخلنا على عائشة وقلنا يا أم المؤمنين ما كان خلق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قالت كان خلقه القرآن تقرؤون سورة المؤمنين. قالت اقرأ قد أفلح المؤمنون. قال يزيد فقرأت قد أفلح المؤمنون إلى لفروجهم حافظون. قالت هكذا كان خلق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. الإمام البخاري reported this hadith from his Shaykh Abdus Salam, and he is Abdus Salam ibn Salih ibn Sulaiman al-Qurashi. Abdus Salam ibn Salih ibn Sulaiman al-Qurashi, rahimahullah. He reported from Ja'far. And Ja'far here is Ja'far ibn Sulaiman al-Dab'i. Ja'far ibn Sulaiman الضبعي رحمه الله. And he is reporting from Abu Imran. Abu Imran, here is Abdul Malik ibn Habib. Abdul Malik ibn Habib al-Juni. Abdul Malik ibn Habib al-Juni. He is reporting from Yazid ibn Babanus al-Basri. The tabi'i of this hadith is Yazid ibn Babanus. Yazid ibn Babanus al-Basri. He said, Dakhalna ala Aishata. We entered upon Aisha. We entered the house of Aisha. Usually the people would knock the house and follow all the limits of entering into a house. And then they will go to see Aisha radiallahu anha. Many times they looked for those who became her Mahari amongst the companions, amongst the Tabi'un. Those who became her Maharim amongst the Tabi'un, they would always look for them, like Al-Aswad and some others. The people, whenever they wanted to see Aisha, whenever they wanted to go into her apartment, they would look for someone, because when the Prophet passed away, alayhi salatu wasalam, if a person was to become a student of Aisha, radiallahu anha, who would go into her apartment, that person will be breastfed. Aisha radiallahu anha will request that the person took breast milk from Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq. It is to be referred to as Radha'atul Kabir. That person became like a mahram, because Aisha will now become a maternal aunt by fostrage. A maternal aunt by fostrage. It was a position she had. Even though some of the other women amongst the wives of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, like Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, Maymuna, they did not used to agree with our mother Aisha on this view. But she had a view on it. She had a proof she used to cite to them regarding. So when people obtain breast milk from Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, as it's known in the issues on Radha'atul Kabir, they will now return to Aisha, because she now became their maternal aunt by fostrage. They'll be able to come into her apartment, radiallahu anha. So that's why you find the Dakhalna ala Aisha. We went into the apartment of Aisha. So those people have become nieces or nephews. They would have become her nephews by fostrage. I hope that this matter is clear. When they say Dakhalna ala Aisha, no one should take it from this that, oh, you see now, people used to go to the apartment of Aisha, males. No, they were males who had in their company men who had already become nieces and nephews, who had already become nephews to Aisha by fostrage. They had already become nephews to Aisha by fostrage. Aisha had become maternal aunt by fostrage to them. So that's how they are able to go to Aisha's apartment, radiallahu anha. That happened a lot. There were a lot of ahadith regarding this subject. People who would go to the apartment of Aisha, they would usually either have a mahram, like the children of Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, like Abdullah ibn Zubayr, or their own children, like Urwa ibn Zubayr, the younger brother of Abdullah, or their own children, like Hisham ibn Urwa ibn Zubayr. They would have the children of Asma with them. Or those who became the children of Asma by prostrate will always ever be with them before they went into the apartment of Aisha, radiallahu anha. Fakulna ya umma al-mu'minin. So we asked and we said to her, O mother of the believers, you know the wives of the Prophet, they are ummahatul mu'minin, as Allah said in the Quran, wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum, and the wives of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, وَرَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُنَّ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ they are their mothers. Allah has made it permissible that the wives of the messenger are our mothers. So when the people address them, they would say, Ya Ummar Mu'mini, O mother of the believers. So that was why they referred to her, Ya Ummar Mu'mini, Ma kana khuluku Rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was the character? What was the way of behavior of the Prophet? What was the way of behavior? What was the line of conduct of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? قالت كان خلقه القرآن رضي الله عنها. Our mother رضي الله عنها said كان خلقه القرآن. His character was upon the Quran. كان خلقه القرآن. The character of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was in conformance with the Quran. Whatever the Quran permitted, he did. Whatever the Quran commanded, he did. Whatever the Quran encouraged, he did. Whatever the Quran discouraged, he abstained. Whatever the Quran prohibited, he abstained. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever the Prophet would do, his lines of conduct were upon the rulings and the teachings of the Quran. One major lesson we all should take from this is that it means that there was a, if you can't read the Quran and study the Quran regularly, how do you connect your lines of conduct to the Quran? Many of us in our own times now, we are far away from the Quran. Those of us who read the Quran don't study the Quran. And you find those who study the Quran, many of them don't practice the Quran. So it is necessary. All the three are compulsory. All the three are compulsory. If you practice the Quran, read the Quran. Because some of the people now say, okay, they are following the Quran, but they don't read the Quran. So you must read the Quran. You must pay attention to the Quran. You must also follow the lessons of the Quran. All put together. Read the Quran. Memorize the Quran. Teach the Quran. Practice the Quran. All of these must go together because they are all compulsory upon us. They are all compulsory on us. And one of the complaints the messenger mentioned regarding the Quran, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would say regarding the Quran and the Ummah, Ya Qawmi, Ya Rabbi, Inna Qawmi, Takhazu, Hadha al-Quran, Mahjura. It will be said, he will say that on the day of Qiyam, that Inna Qawmi, Takhazu, Hadha al-Quran, Mahjura. My people to whom I have delivered the Quran, they took this Quran as a thing to be abandoned. They abandoned the Quran. Many of us, we read 1,000 WhatsApp messages daily. So you find it hard to read the Quran. One single page, if you read it, you study it. Fortunately, we have gone out of the era of I don't know Arabic, so I can't study Quran. There are a lot of translations in the Quran. There are even translations of books of tafsir. The tafsir of Ibn Kathir, although it's a very, very summarized translation, I think I should say that too. So that a person who reads tafsir Ibn Kathir translated in English does not begin to think that he has known it all about tafsir Ibn Kathir. The translation was no less than about 1/5 of what you have in tafsir Ibn Kathir that was rendered. A mukhtasar was done first, a summary was done first in Arabic. Then it was that summary that was translated and published by Darussalam. The same thing, the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman Ibn Sa'di. As-Sa'di, the Rahman As-Sa'di, or As-Sa'di, any of them, he bears the two, Rahimahullah. It has been translated and published by IIPH. So you can go and look for this and read by means of being able to understand the Quran better than just reading the translation. So if you read the translation, you read an explanation, it makes it better for you. So all of these are things that we have abandoned aside. We have, some of us have 20 WhatsApp groups. And you read everything people say in the various WhatsApp groups in the morning before you go out for work or in the night before you sleep. Yet you claim that you are too busy to read the Quran. So how can your line of conduct be connected to the Quran that you don't read? So read the Quran, pay attention to the Quran, give time to the Quran, study the Quran, follow the lessons of the Quran. But it will be difficult to follow the lessons when you don't read the Quran. And it is unfortunate that a person will be reading the Quran and he will not follow the lessons of the Quran. May Allah protect all of us. So as for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, the line of conduct of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon the Quran. So our mother Aisha said, radiallahu anha, she asked the people, تَقْرَؤُونَ سُورَةَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, do you people read Suratul Mu'mineen? This is evident that these surahs had those names since those times. Some people think, that how did the names come? She knew Suratul Mu'mineen. So she's asking them, our Suratul Mu'mineen. She's asking them, Taqra'una Suratul Mu'mineen. That's evidence that it can occur as in the Fi Mahalli Al-Jarri. In this case, Surah Al-Mu'mineen, it is occurring in Mahal al-Jarr, idafatan lis-surah. So that's why you have surah occurring al-Nasr. So she said, radiallahu anha, faqra'una surah al-Mu'mineen. Do you read Surah Al-Mu'minun? Do you read that surah? Qalat iqra. She said to them, by way of proving that the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is based on the Quran, some of us will say, our lifestyle is based on humanity. Please let us go and set aside this issue of humanity. People started to say in our own times. They say, do good to others for the sake of humanity. Oh Muslim, don't follow them. Do good to others for the sake of Allah. Allah has created you for worship of Him, for ibadah. He has not created you for humanity. Humanity, this term is a term that is far away from Tawheed. It is from the aspects, from the disguise of hatred for theism, hatred for worship of Allah. So do good not for the sake of humanity, O Muslim. Do good so that Allah will reward you, so that you are worshiping Allah, so that for the sake of Allah. Don't do good, you are thinking that, oh, people are now saying it, let's do it for humanity. Do it for the sake of Allah to be rewarded by Allah. If you do it for humanity, Allah will not reward you, oh Muslim. May Allah protect all of us. So the line of conduct of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon the Quran. So she wanted to give an evidence for that. She said, radiallahu anha, ikra, you people should read, qad aflaha al-mu'minun. She read that the beginning of Surah Al-Mu'minun, the beginning verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun, and she stopped at لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. There Allah said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Certainly the people of Iman, they have gained success. The people of Iman are certainly upon success. They are successful. So Allah described these people, the people of Iman. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. These are the people who are steadfast upon their salah. And in the salah, خَاشِعُونَ, they observe their salah with consciousness. They are fully conscious of Allah. With the presence of mind, many people observe salah today and they are absent-minded. This is not from the way of the mu'minun. At least it's not from the line of conduct of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers are certainly successful. These mu'minun, الَّذِينَ هُمْ, they are those who فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, who are conscious in their salah. When they observe salah, they are conscious, they are present-minded. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. They are a group of people who عَنِ اللَّغْوِ. اللَّغْوُ are useless vain talks. اللَّغْوُ, useless vain talks. So these people, some of us think that on Facebook you have a duty to contribute to every issue that is being talked about. From the people of Iman, from the character of the people of Iman is that they don't ever contribute to something except something that is useful. But love, in the name of joking, in the name of jokes, you are contributing to vain talks, useless talks, in the name of joking. In the name of joking, you are placing on your status on WhatsApp vain talks, vain useless talks. In the name of jokes, as for the people of Iman, anillahu mu'ridun. In the name of jokes, you say it's a prank. And it is love. You say it's a joke. People are just joking now. As for the people of Iman, anillahu mu'ridun. Wallazina hum anillahu mu'ridun. From the character of the people of Iman is that they abstain from vain talks, useless talks, under any guise. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. The people of Iman are those who فَاعِلُونَ. They do their zakah. They give their zakawat. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. They are also a group of people who preserve لِفُرُوجِهِمْ, their private areas. They preserve their private areas in two major ways. The first way is that they do not get into zina. لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. These people preserve their private areas. Male and female, no zina. So from the attributes, from the character of the people of Iman is that they abstain from all these indecencies. The second way they preserve their private areas is by covering it. So as a woman, she wears hijab. She wears jilbab. She wears all of this to preserve her private areas. As a man, he doesn't ever leave his navel to his knees, but he covers them up. Why? That is his private area, and he has been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve them. Ihfaz awratak, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ihfaz awratak. Cover your private area. So the people of Iman, lifurujihim hafizun, they preserve and cover up their private areas in two ways, as we said. They preserve it away from zina, they are not effective. They also preserve it away from vision. You don't see, no one sees their private areas. So the Prophet said, so Aisha said, radiallahu anha, hakaza kana khuluqu Rasulillah. This was the way of the Prophet Muhammad. He was a person of Iman and the leader of the people of Iman, alayhi salam. When he observed Salah, it was with full consciousness, alayhi salatu wasalam. When there was vain, useless talk, the Prophet would not contribute, alayhi salatu wasalam. When it was time for zakah, he received the zakah from the people, alayhi salatu wasalam. As for the rest of us, we give the zakawat. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. And then we have a duty to preserve our private areas, never to fall into zina, and never to cast vision. Allow people to cast their sights to your private areas. So these are issues of noble character. The question would come, what is the connection between this narration and the fact that the Muslim should beg Allah to make him a person of good character? The ulama say the connection is that if you beg Allah for good character, in the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have good character, Bismillah, Allah will make you a person of good character the way he made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a person of good character. Because this second hadith of Aisha makes us understand that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a person of nice character. And he used to beg Allah for good character. So if you are used to begging Allah for good character, Bismillah, Allah will make you a person of good character. Like the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, man tasabbara sabbarahu Allah. If you learn, you seek the means of gaining patience, Allah will make you become a patient person. And like we explained, one of the ways of gaining these things is to make a lot of dua. So the affair of Aisha, the relevance to this chapter heading is that it affirms that the dua of the Prophet that Allah make me a person of good character was answered, and the person, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was a person of good character. So if you are used to making dua for good character, Allah will give you, by His mercy, He will make you a person of good character. I think that these narrations are clear. Bismillah, in our next class tomorrow, we'll be coming to the chapter on Laysa al-Mu'min bi-ta'an. The mu'min, the person of Iman, cannot be a defamer, someone who defames others, belittling them, denigrating them, snaring them, attacking their good name and reputation, belittling the people, some of the people. These young people think that it is from noble character to belittle people. Young people, these days, they think that it is normal to belittle people. So when you find them in a discussion, they say, ah, me, I don't have time, or I can insult anybody. Young people these days, they think that it is from normal to belittle the people. That is not from the attributes of the people of Iman. These days, whatever young people become found in, you see insults go easily. They easily insult themselves. Go to the social media, you see how young people these days have gotten used to insulting people, no matter who the person may be. You say, I don't take a shit, I can insult anybody. Is that a virtue for you? If you're a person of Iman, you will not do that. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari has a chapter heading for us, لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنُ بِالْقَرْآنِ. The mu'min cannot be a person who goes about belittling people, who goes around denigrating people, defaming people, and so on, smearing them. Bismillah, we'll come back to these issues, Bismillah, tomorrow in our class. But as for the time we have now, can we go on to ask questions, Abu Amir? There's a question, and it's connected to the dua. Is the dua valid if one reads the dua in English instead of Arabic? If you read it in English, it is valid. If you say the dua in English or in Yoruba or in Hausa or in any other language, it is valid. But it is better to read it in English as in Arabic. It is better to read it in Arabic, especially if it was a dua that was taught by the Prophet Muhammad. It is better to read it in Arabic, or it is allowed to read it in any other language. It is better to read it in Arabic because, of course, that is closer to the Sunnah itself. The Prophet gave it in Arabic. So if you read it in Arabic, you are saying exactly what he said. I hope that is clear. So it is better to say Arabic, or it is allowed to say it in any other language, and Allah will answer our dua. I hope that it is clear to us.
This question says, please, where can we get all these du'as so that we can be doing it?
Well, the du'a, Allahumma ihdini li ahsani al-akhlaq, is a du'a, it's called in Sahih Muslim. Allahumma kama hassanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. I think if you get Hisn al-Muslim, the fortress of the Muslim, I think that they should be in them. I think that they should be in them. My connection to Hisn al-Muslim is long time ago. When we were younger than this, we used to be familiar with Hisn al-Muslim. But I hope you can go back to Hisn al-Muslim. You will find this dua in it. Allahumma ihdini li ahsani al-akhlaq, la yahdi li ahsaniha illa anta. وصرف عني سيئها لا يصرف سيئها إلا أنت. You can also say اللهم حسنت خلقي فحسن كما حسنت خلقي فحسن خلقي. And this one we read today. اللهم إني أسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر. You can go to Hisn Muslim. The one we don't find in it, then you can do a cutout of this class, so that you get used to the dua, inshallah. Naam, Abba Yusuf.
Naam, jazakum Allah khairan ya shaykhana.
Ameen.
Naam, please, can someone name herself Umul Mu'minat as people do now?
You should not do that. If you say Umul Mu'minat, the wives of the messenger are Umul Mu'minin. Don't destruct that expression. Because when you say mu'minun, it is covering male and females. If you say mu'minun, it covers males and females. If you say mu'minat, you're only talking about females. So if you start saying umul mu'minat, you are disrupting that sacred expression. is an expression that has been kept for some people. The wives of the messenger. Don't come and destruct it. Look for another name. I have never seen from all the books of the biography of scholars in the past, since the time of the companions till date, that Bismillah we are familiar with somewhat. I've never seen anybody naming themselves Umul Mu'minat. We have just gotten into a generation where we want the abstract. Follow the ones that have been established. Go and look for a kunya from a name that's already established. Ummu Hassan, Ummu al-Fadl, Ummu Abdullah, Ummu Abdurrazak, Ummu Abdul Fatah. These are kunas. What is the Ummu al-Mu'minat again? Let us not go out of the ordinary to look for something that does not exist. Leave that expression, Ummu al-Mu'minin, and it is meant for the wives of the Prophet. Is it not sufficient that a title that is meant for the wives of the Prophet is not disrupted? Leave that title without destructing and destroying it. Ummul Mu'minin, Ummul Mu'minin. Ummul Mu'minin is Ummul Mu'minin. Why do you bring Mu'minat to it again? Do you think because they say Mu'minin, it removes Mu'minat? When they say Mu'minin, it refers to both Mu'minun, males, both Mu'minun, females. When Allah said, "Qad aflaha al-Mu'minun," why didn't the women come and start asking the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Are we included in Mu'minun here in Surah Al-Mu'minun? Allah said, "Qad aflaha al-Mu'minun." That expression Mu'minun involves both males and females. I think some feminist thinking is disturbing some people. They almost can change Surah Al-Mu'minun to Surah Al-Mu'minat. So don't change it to Ummul Mu'minat. Leave it Ummul Mu'minin. And it is a term, is an expression that is connected to the wives of the Prophet. Don't destruct it. Go and look for your own kunya. Ummu Abdullah, Ummu Abdurrazak, Ummu Abdul Fatah, Ummu Anas, Ummu Nasir, Ummu Siddiq, Ummu Abdul Rauf, Ummu Ibrahim. It's okay for you. Ummu Maryam. What is Ummu al-Mu'minat again? Are you a mother of Mu'minat? Please let us leave all these abstract things that get you into things that are not lawful. وَمَنْ اتَّقَ الشُّبْهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. Who gets into things that are modeled up? This is modeling up. If you abstain from things that are modeled up, اسْتَبْرَأْتَ لِدِينِكَ وَعِرْضِكَ. You are seeking cleanliness. You are seeking sanctity for your deen and for your honor. So let us leave all these kinds of Ummul Mu'minat that people are getting to. Go into something that is clear, that does not have any kind of ambiguity in it. You clearly know that it is rewarding. Name yourself Ummu Abdullah, Ummu Abdurrazak, Ummu Abdul Fatah. Leave Ummul Mu'minin as Ummul Mu'minin. And that's the title of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Naam.
Naam. Jazakumullahu khair. Shaykhana. Assalamu alaykum.
Someone asks, is the girl from Aba Yusuf? Someone asked the question. Last question. If someone has a daughter whose name is Mu'mina, that's okay. Ummul Mu'mina. Ummu Mu'mina. Ummu Mu'mina. That's okay. Ummu Mu'mina. Your daughter's name is Mu'mina. Five. You are Ummu Mu'mina. The father is Abu Mu'mina. If he chooses to take a kunya with the name of a girl, okay, Abu Mu'mina, it's lawful. Abu Mu'mina. Tamim ibn Aus took a kunya after the name of a girl, Ruqayya. Tamim ibn Aus in Dari. He is Abu Ruqayya. So you can be Abu Mu'mina. And if as a woman you can be Ummu Mu'mina, that's okay, because that's the name of your daughter. But is there a daughter being called Mu'minat? We have a daughter called Mu'minat. If you don't have a daughter called Mu'minat, then don't be a Ummu Mu'minat now. Don't be a Ummu Mu'minat. May Allah protect us. And don't take it as a kind of a joke. Don't joke with it, because that name is connected to the wives of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. Naam, Aba Yusuf.
Naam, jazakumullahu khairan, shaykhana. Please, Is the translation of the full unabridged Tafsir Ibn Kathir now available?
Full unabridged? No. There is no full translation of Ibn Kathir. The one you have by Darussalam was a mukhtasar that was done. They did a mukhtasar of Tafsir Ibn Kathir, and many scholars. So what they translated, you have in 10 volumes published by Darussalam, was a translation of a summary of Tafsir Ibn Kathir. From the aspects of ma la yudraku kulluhu, la yutraku julluhu, hatta la yutraku kulluhu, ma la yutraku kulluhu bil kaf. Something you cannot get all of it. La yutraku kulluhu. The small that you find in it too, don't throw it away. You can still make benefit. But as for the entirety of Tafsir Ibn Kathir, if you want to start reading that, go and learn Arabic so that you'll be able to read Ibn Kathir. You'll even be able to read from where Ibn Kathir himself took from. Because Al-Imam Ibn Kathir largely benefited from Tafsir of Al-Imam al-Tabari. And the Tafsir of Al-Imam al-Tabari occurs in 20 volumes. So if you learn Arabic, it is not only Ibn Kathir that you will learn, full Ibn Kathir. You will even learn from where Ibn Kathir himself took his tafsir from. I hope that it is clear. So go, let's be encouraged to learn Arabic. When we say read those tafsir, it's from the aspects of not losing out completely, having an idea somewhat, because you have not learned Arabic. But don't stop there. Learn Arabic, so that you're able to access the rest of the books of Tafsir. You read Tafsir Ibn Kathir, you read Tafsir al-Tabari, and one of the best books of Tafsir you will ever read is Tafsir al-Qurtubi, Al-Jami' al-Ahkam al-Qur'an, by Al-Imam Abu Abdullah al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah. One of the best books of Tafsir you read. You read others, you read many others. So this, the sky is your limit, as they say, if you go into Arabic and you do not restrict yourself to reading in English. But at the same time, instead of not reading anything, read those ones that have been made in English. You'll also make benefit from them, inshallah. I hope that that is clear about this.
No, Yashikana.
Our friends can stop here today, inshallah, and continue tomorrow.
No, Yashikana. Barakallahu feekum.
Ameen. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.